here.
10 minutes passed as the companions did nothing but concentrate on their individual tasks. Fingers dug painfully into the smallest openings, and boots slipped constantly as they tried to dig in for a purchase that would hold their weight, if only for a scant few seconds. Pausing to catch his breath, Ryan shot at the hunting apes and scored a wound. The beast was still scaling the cliff, but much slower. Encouraged by this, JB pulled a jagged piece of cliff loose and let it drop at another gorilla. The stone fell straight for the mutie's face, but the beast reached out with an enormous hand and caught it, then lobbed the stone right back.
Bastard!
JB barely had time to swing out of the way before the limestone slammed into the mesa where he'd just been, exploding into powdery shrapnel.
Son of a bitch is fast!
Dad! Shit!
Dean suddenly fell away from the cliff, the end of a thick root grasped in his hands.
Dean!
As Mildred and Christy fired at the muties below, Doc looked up. The old man saw the boy coming. Instantly, he dug in his heels and reached out to grab for Dean. He knew it was impossible to catch the lad directly. The impact would pull him off the cliff, too. But there was another way. Maybe. Doc miraculously got a hold of the boy's belt and pulled with all of his strength, the jerk almost tearing him off the rock face. A searing explosion of pain swelled in his shoulder. Holding on for dear life, the old man swung the boy inward, and Dean hit the mesa with stunning force, his head cracking against the stones and going limp.
Thank heaven. It worked.
Sweating from the strain, Doc could see the boy was unconscious and forced himself to start climbing again. His knuckles were white from tightly holding on to Dean's belt, and the pain in his shoulder grew into a white-hot agony worse than any bullet wound. It had to be dislocated. Doc blocked the world from his mind and thought only of the climb and holding on to his young friend. Find another crack, shift his weight, climb, brace himself, find the strength, tighten the grip on the belt. Now, do it once more, again and again. There was no time, no sounds, only the endless cliff and a universe of distant pain. But then, there was no more rock before his face, and familiar arms reached to take Dean under the armpits to try to lift him, but Doc refused to relinquish his ward.
Let go, Doc. I've got him. It's okay. Damn it, you old coot. Let him go.
The man tried to do as requested, but his aching body was moving with a will of its own. Sluggishly, he inched over the edge and crawled onto the top of the mesa, still dragging the unconscious boy. When he cleared the rim, Doc collapsed onto the bare soil, pulling in lungfuls of air. In the background somewhere, Doc heard blaster fire and the howls of wounded apes. He tried to rise and draw his Lama, but somebody forced him back down.
Rest for a sec.
Doc was too weak to even nod in response.
Thank God Dean's okay.
Mildred brushed the hair from the boy's face. There were no broken bones or fractures that she could detect. The boy would have a new scar under his hair, but that was a fine trade against having his brain splattered across the landscape. Privately, Mildred still couldn't believe that Doc managed to catch him. She knew his appearance of being old was merely a side effect of time travel, but she'd never truly appreciated just how strong the tall man was. Until today. As the red fog of exhaustion left his vision, Doc saw Ryan crouched alongside him, resting on his boot heels. Gently, the one-eyed warrior was probing the swollen shoulder with his fingertips.
No breaks. Must be dislocated.
I can fix that. Doc, this will hurt bad, but only for a few seconds.
Proceed.
Mildred placed her left boot under his armpit and the other on the side of his neck. Wrapping her hands around the man's wrist, Mildred gently rotated the arm slightly clockwise to align the bones.
The quality of mercy is not strained.
Oh, much better, my fair Portia.
No prob.
Nearby, JB was standing at the cliff's edge, reloading the Uzi, while Christy and Jack tossed grenades at the gorillas. Their dull thuds faintly shook the ground, and the muties briefly shrieked. Working the arming bolt, JB started firing short bursts over the side, and another ape howled, the noise quickly dwindling into the distance to an abrupt stop.
Two retreating.
Jack thumbed rounds into the Ruger, then switched weapons back to his Colt. His Ruger Redhawk sported only a 4-inch barrel, which made it a fast draw, but the Colt Python's 6-inch barrel made a difference in accuracy. Maybe he'd keep both. They made a nice combo.
Nobody escapes.
Sliding the Steyr off his shoulder, Ryan went to the edge and swept the cliff face with the telescope mounted on the long blaster. When the crosshairs found a mutie, he centered the scope on its face and blasted its features with a 7.62mm hollow-point round. The other beast tried to flatten against the cliff to escape, but Ryan winged it in the leg, and as it doubled over to grab the wound, he planted a round into its ear. Already chilled, the gorilla went sailing off the rock face and impacted heavily into the ground. Ryan pumped a few additional rounds into any corpse that was mostly intact. He wasn't going to have the apes come back in the night to attack the companions in their sleep.
See any more?
Not yet, JB. But there's no way we wiped out all of them. I'll check on the others. You stand guard.
Done.
Holding a wad of cloth to his head, Dean went over to Doc, a trickle of blood flowing from under his dark hair.
Thanks. I owe you, Doc.
Next time, you catch me.
You got it.
Suddenly, a hairy arm came over the edge of the mesa, and the big bull mutie rose into view.
Look out!
There. That makes all six. Let's get walking. I'm on point. JB, cover the rear.
Moving away from the mesa's edge, the companions wearily trudged along the bare ground. Ryan could see his friends needed rest and some food, but this wasn't the area for that. Once they put a few miles between themselves and the jungle, he'd find a secure spot where they could establish a campsite. Even he got tired after that much combat. Lagging slightly behind the rest, Jack was shuffling along, trying to keep the weight off his foot. Doc slowed to walk alongside the teenager, then passed over his ebony stick.
Just alone?
Jack nodded, and switching the magnum to his other hand, levered himself along, using the stick as a cane. Some of the tension eased from his face, and his speed noticeably increased. The top of the mesa was a flat field of bare ground, stretching before them in an endless vista of rough ground that resembled black glass.
Cooled lava.
Squinting, Ryan looked at the two volcanoes on the island.
Too far away. Something else lagged this ground.
Nuke?
Probably.
The Deathlands warrior checked the rad counter on his lapel and saw it registering only normal background activity.
Clear.
The Uzi cradled in his arms, JB glanced at his own rad counter and nodded in agreement. The area was safe. Tiny cracks were starting to appear in the smooth flow, and soon small weeds dotted the black ground, the tufts highly visible against the dark material. The greenery thickened until it carpeted the land. Ahead were trees and bushes, the beginnings of a small forest that appeared to reach all the way to the towering ruins of the pre-dark metropolis. The gleaming towers of steel and concrete rose dozens of stories high, without any apparent sign of corrosion or blast damage. A flock of birds nesting in the grassy field took flight at the approach of the Norms, and Ryan jerked to a halt. The rest of the companions froze, weapons at the ready, when the man knelt and waved them closer. Ryan lifted a human skull out of the weeds. The object was clean, without a sign of flesh, but the bone was still white, not the dusky yellow of a skull long exposed to inclement weather.
We're not the first to reach the top. Mildred, how old do you think it is?
A year? Maybe two. But certainly no longer than that.
Not a pre-dark?
Mildred removed the lower jaw and displayed the pitted yellow teeth.
All these cavities and not a sign of dental work? No way this man's from my era.
Man?
You can tell from the size.
Huh. No.
Jack lifted a shiny femur from the grass. Other than the skull, the thigh bone was the most identifiable part of the human skeleton, with its double knuckles at the top and bottom. It also made a damn fine club.
And over here?
The bones were all mixed together, cracked open, and chewed by animals, and some folks carried away their enemies' skulls as trophies. Counting the number of hip bones was the only way to get an accurate number of skeletons.
9. Could have been a hunting party, or raiders.
Trying not to step on any bones, Mildred joined the redhead.
Yeah, they're all adult males, but look there. Some of these are white, some brittle and yellow. I think this is the dumping spot for the something that has been chilling folks for decades.
The gorillas?
No. I saw those muties' teeth. They were big, but herbivores. Meat-eaters chilled these fools.
Found their weapons!
Dean stood and wiped the dirt off a broken knife. The metal was green with corrosion, holes eaten completely through.